Last week we had pasta with the pastor. And these are the four that showed up. That's Jeffrey and Luna and Jack and Jaden. Last Sunday, Erica prayed here when leading worship. And I remember when I came here, Erica was not on the platform praying, leading worship. And I thought, what's going to happen 15 years from now? Where are these kids going to be? Are they going to be calling us to worship and leading us? Why not? Why not? Love it. Thanks, Hannah, for taking that picture. Well, you'll need a Bible this morning. If you brought yours, that'd be great. If you didn't, the pew Bible in the back of the pew in front of you will work. Or if you prefer your devices, your smartphone, I'll be reading from John chapter 21, the first 19 verses of John chapter 21. That's page 828 in your pew Bible, 828 if you want to use a pew Bible. John 21, verses 1 through 19. You also have in your worship folder an outline that might help you follow along if you so desire to use it. John 21, 828 in your pew Bible. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. They said to him, we will go with you. They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, children, you have no fish, have you? They answered him, no. He said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you'll find some. So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish. They were not far from the land, about 100 yards off. When they'd gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish that you have just caught. Simon went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net wasn't torn. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. Now, none of the disciples dared to ask him, who are you? Because they knew that it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them and did the same with the fish. This is now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they'd finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my lambs. Second time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you that when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go. He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. After this, he said to him, follow me. It's an early church father that records how when Peter was fastened to a cross upside down, they had to fasten a belt around him and attach him to the cross because he kept flopping off of it. Didn't want to be crucified right side up like his Lord, so he opted to be crucified upside down. And they fastened a belt around him to hold him to the cross. The word of the Lord. The resurrected Jesus is present this morning to say, Mary, to say, peace, to say, touch me, to say, come and eat breakfast. We talk here at Foothill Community Church about a close reading of Scripture. And by that, we mean we get into a text and we look at it and we analyze it and we observe it. We make observations. This morning, let's stand back from John chapter 20 and verse 21, two chapters. And we will see that Jesus showed and he spoke. And we'll conclude by praying this sermon together. So I ask you to get your Bibles, because I'd like you to be looking at it as we see where Jesus showed and where he spoke. Let's look at show one in chapter 20, verses 1 through 18. This is review. This is the third Sunday of Easter, remember? So this is review. In chapter 20, verses 1 through 18, you have the story of the resurrection of Jesus and Jesus appearing to Mary Magdalene. Three times in this story, Mary uses language like, "I did not know," or "we did not know." Jesus is resurrected. Mary goes to the tomb, and it's empty, and the body is gone. And she says, "We do not know. I do not know where they have laid him." Jesus shows up in verses 11 following, and she says to him, "We do not know where Jesus is." Jesus' response to her, "We do not know," was to call her name, Mary. Her response to the name was Rabboni, teacher. She knew. Jesus cut through confusion and said, "Mary," called her name. The second show is in verses 19 through 23. Jesus cut through fear and said, "Peace." In verses 19 through 23, it was evening on that day, you see in verse 19. So this would be crucified Friday. Saturday's the day of rest. He's in the tomb. This would be Sunday. So Sunday morning, you have the resurrection Mary story. And then the evening, that Sunday evening, well, it was evening, the first day of the week, Sunday, the first day of the week, the disciples are in the house and the doors are locked for fear of the Jews. Why would they be afraid of the Jews? It had just been Friday that their Lord had been crucified. And while disciples had forgotten a lot, they maybe have remembered or had been reminded by one of them that Jesus had said, "If they do this to the shepherd, what do you think they will do to the sheep?" So they had every right to be afraid. Someone was probably looking out the window, keeping watch to see who was approaching. Any time there'd be the sound of a footstep on the stair, the hair on the back of their neck would probably go up. They were afraid. Jesus cut through their fear and said, "Peace." Twice. The third show is in verses 24 through 29. In this show, Jesus cut through doubt and said, "Touch me." Thomas wasn't there that first Sunday night for whatever reasons, all kinds of speculation why Thomas wasn't with the disciples. And the next week, it says in verse 26, a week later, the disciples again were in the house, and Thomas happened to be with them at this time. But Thomas had thrown down an ultimatum in verses 24 following. "Yeah, I hear you guys, but unless I am able to see and unless I am able to touch," and you see the language he uses, literally, "put my fingers and put my hand." He throws down the ultimatum. Jesus shows up in verses 26 following and almost uses the exact verb, the exact language that Thomas had used, almost like Jesus had been listening into Thomas's ultimatum. Jesus is not bothered by doubt or the fact that Thomas wasn't there, and he comes in right underneath Thomas, right at the level that Thomas needs, exactly what Thomas needs. "You need to touch me, you need to see me, you need to feel. Yeah, okay, here, go ahead and do that. Reach out and touch, see the wounds." And Thomas puts out his hand and puts out his fingers. And his response, similar to Mary's Rabboni, is, "My Lord and my God." Jesus cut through Thomas's doubt and said, "Touch me." The fourth show is the one we read, stuff we've been looking at for the last couple of weeks. This is the text for this morning in verses 1 through 19 of chapter 21. I'm going to suggest that Jesus cut through the distance and said to Peter, come and eat. Come and eat breakfast. The seven of them are back up in Galilee. Apparently they'd walked from Jerusalem where the crucifixion and the resurrection had been. And they'd been in the upper room and Jesus had showed up and said, peace. Now, some time had elapsed because you see in verse 21, after these things. So some time had elapsed and they'd apparently gone back up to Galilee. And Peter, along with six of his fishing buddies, said, let's go fishing. And they had fished all night and caught nada. Now, if you're a fisherman, you're a professional fisherman, but even if you're a recreational fisherman and you fish all night and catch nothing, the last question you want to answer is, how'd you do? Little children, have you caught any fish? And you have Peter's one-word answer, no. It's about the best he can come up with. Jesus says, throw your net on the other side of the boat, and they caught 153 large ones. While this is all going on, there's a charcoal fire on the beach. Can you imagine that Peter, you know, how the olfactory senses trigger memories, probably more research done on, they trigger memories more acutely than any other of our senses. Could you imagine that Peter smelling the charcoal fire coming from the beach triggered the other charcoal fire, the night of Jesus' trial, where Peter had been warming himself while Jesus is being tried? I don't think Peter was that dumb. I think he caught it. And there's fish barbecuing and bread. Homemade bread. These guys had fished all night, don't you know, and caught nothing. And now barbecued fish and bread. I have in my notes, Our daughter bought me a pack of cedar planks one Christmas, cedar boards for barbecue. Went down to Pike Place Market in Seattle and bought a bright red Copper River salmon, fresh, and took it home and found a recipe that used maple syrup. And so I laid that fillet on the cedar plank and drizzled real maple syrup, not Aunt Jemima's cane sugar, that this is Vermont, Quebec maple syrup, and dribble it and barbecued that Copper River salmon. The cedar flavors, the maple syrup flavors. And Jesus says to Peter, do you love me? Three times. Two times, okay. Third time, Peter was hurt. Do you think? He felt hurt. And after Jesus got the yes answer from Peter, I love you, three times, Jesus said, feed my sheep, tend my lambs, feed my lambs. Remember Peter, he had been the one that said, I'll die for you, when Jesus said he was going to go and die. Jesus had told him, no, you won't die for me, but you're going to deny me three times before the rooster crows. And gathered around that charcoal fire on the night of Jesus' betrayal, a servant girl had pointed her little finger at him and said, you're one of them, aren't you? And he denied three times and ended up cursing, blaspheming. In one of the Gospels, it says, after the rooster crowed, Jesus, who had been apparently up on a walkway, I think it's Luke, records that he looked back and Peter and Jesus made eye contact after the rooster crowed. And the Bible says Peter went out and wept bitterly. You think? Shame? Guilt? Hiding? He named it, and then I went and did it. I wonder if there's something in this John story about being in a boat out on the sea and Jesus being on the beach. I wonder if John is deliberately showing us the distance between the two. And across that distance, Jesus says to Peter, come and eat. Jesus cut through the distance, took the initiative, and he said to Peter, come and eat. We stood back from chapter 20 and chapter 21, John. Now let's take a closer look. If we're going to do close reading, paying attention to what the scripture says, one of the questions that we'll ask when we look at these two chapters is, why these four stories? Of all that Jesus did in the 40 days between his resurrection and his ascension, 40 days, must have done a lot. Why does John just pick these four stories? A close reader will also ask, why in the world is verse 31 and 32 of chapter 20 plopped right down in the middle of these four stories? Did you notice that we skipped it? We skipped them? Draw your attention back. Take your Bibles. Chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. Why in the world does John put this here? Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing, you may have life in his name. Jesus showed up and said, Mary, peace, touch me, come and eat, so that they, you and I, would believe, and that through believing, we would have life in his name. Belief is the portal through which one walks out into life. You have either been on a mountain trail or read about it or watched one on TV. You are climbing rocks, downed trees, stumps, overhanging brush, trees, dark, bugs. And then you come out on a ledge or a bend in the trail, and you're looking out over this snow-capped mountain with a glacier-fed alpine lake. And you can't wait to get your fishing line out of your backpack and throw it in the lake. Life. You go through the portal and come out to life. Belief happens then when Jesus shows up and speaks. Mary, Rabboni, touch me, my Lord and my God. Belief is the portal through which one walks out into life. Belief happens when Jesus shows and speaks. I said I wanted us to pray this text, this sermon this morning. So let's do it. Let's apply it this way this morning. Would you kindly assume a posture of prayer, whatever that means for you. Close yourself in. I like to pray in these situations, my hands open as a way of surrender or receiving. If you're better praying with your eyes open, go ahead. Whatever posture you need to assume, to assume a sort of a receiving posture as I lead you in some prayer, as I lead you in praying this sermon. I said in the beginning that the resurrected Jesus is here this morning to show and to speak to you. And this morning, he is calling some of you by name. This morning, he is saying, Mary. You're confused. You're wondering where he is, where he's been. You followed him, and now you don't know where he is. And he says, Mary. He says, Vijay. He He says Kenny. He says Ross. He says John. You're afraid. Fear. Do you hear him say peace? Peace be with you. You need confirmation. You doubt. You've been told, knock off the doubt. Just simply believe, but doubt still takes center stage in your life. Know that Jesus doesn't pound you because you doubt. Do you hear him say, touch me? Whatever you need, I'll provide for you. Touch me. There's distance between you and Jesus. Do you hear him say, come and eat? You did something, or probably it's more like something happened to you, and you are deeply hurt. You tried your best. You followed. You gave public witness of your sold-out commitment to him. But on the night of the trial, you who followed all the way to the charcoal fire got caught up by the servant girl. And you blew it. And you've allowed that to create distance between you and Jesus. And you have gone out and you fished all night and caught nothing. You've lived your life, but you don't have the stuff to show for it that you wish you had, or that you knew you could have had you stayed following. You hear him say, come and eat? Do you hear him say, I have sheep to feed, I have lambs to tend, and if you don't feed them, and if you don't tend them, they won't get fed, and they won't get tended. He needs you to come ashore and eat. The resurrected Jesus Christ in the power of his Holy Spirit is here this morning, and he's speaking words to you. Do you hear what he has to say? Let's stay quiet for a few moments and continue to listen what he wants to say to you this morning.